98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
All right, here we go. The top stories of the day here on the Burns and Gambo show. And we start with news from the Phoenix Suns, though not the Suns game itself. In an announcement that was made official today to tie into the fact that Governor Ducey officially signed the new bill into law that will allow for sports gambling in Arizona sometime in the near future, the Phoenix Suns and FanDuel announced that they are going into business together. There's going to be a sports book that will be open, yes, again, sometime in the near future at Phoenix Suns Arena that will allow you to bet on Suns games and other games right there from the arena.
And fantasy sports. They'll have fantasy sports, which we didn't have legalized in this state. It's an exclusive deal between the Suns and FanDuel. So they are the only partners in the market for FanDuel is the Suns. And now the sports book will be on the main level right by the entrance door to Jefferson Street in the arena. But the sports book will be on the main level that people could enter in and out, even not on a game day.
You'll also be able to make bets on an app while you're in the sports book on game days and other sporting events. We already know there's a sports book being put in at the TPC of Scottsdale. That announcement was made yesterday through DraftKings. I imagine other organizations, other tribal casinos will soon be announcing sportsbook additions and things like that. It is a brand new, brave new world when it comes to being a sports fan in Arizona now that sports wagering is legal in the state of Arizona. Again, this isn't happening overnight. This will take a while for the infrastructure to be put in, but sometime soon, you say maybe by the beginning of next year.
It's going to be 90 days for everything to be written from the legislation, okay. So they are not expecting it to be open in time for the NBA playoffs, is what I was told today.
Dennis Gardeck and Kylie Pitts have signed their one-year tenders with the Arizona Cardinals. Also, according to the Cardinals themselves, they have signed five players today to a contract as well. Wide receiver Andre Bocelli, defensive lineman Ryan B., running back Tavian Feaster, linebacker Jamel Garcia-Williams, and wide receiver Dorice Roberson Jr. Roberson Jr. in particular, 4.35 speed at the wide receiver position.
Who was the Italian opera singer they signed?
Bocelli. Andre Bocelli.
Yeah, he hits those high notes better than anybody.
He's a fabulous tenor.
Fabulous. One of the best out there. I think I saw him in Milan once.
Tommy Lloyd, officially introduced today as the new head coach of U of A basketball.
Wow. I mean, you're probably going to see me get a little bit emotional. University of Arizona basketball, amazing. It's a dream come true.
He later went on to say he knows full well of the pending sanctions. Quote, you guys are never going to hear me complain about NCAA sanctions. I know what I walked into. My job is to lead this program forward, and that will be my focus, close quote.
Let's go. I mean, you know, you hired him. Like, there's no turning back. I mean, ASU made some hires that were a little out of the box, you know, with Herm Edwards. That was an out-of-the-box hire. And now, not that this is out of the box. It's an assistant, and some people thought they should go get a sitting coach, but he's got 20 years of experience, and he was at Gonzaga, for goodness sakes. Now let's see if he can recruit.
Torrey Lovello provided an injury update for Ketel Marte today as they get ready to take on the Washington Nationals.
Ketel continues to progress and is still getting treatment every single day, and they initiated some really light movements forward, and it's part of the program.
Really light movements are not baseball activities, and he would not provide a timeline on when he would even start baseball activities at this point for Ketel.
Yeah, you just don't know with that type of injury. That's why when I checked yesterday, they were like, yeah, no timeline. Can't put a timeline in it. We just don't know.
Yeah. And then finally, LaMarcus Aldridge announced his retirement today after having a health scare with an irregular heartbeat. Stephen A. Smith talked about LaMarcus.
He's not what he used to be. We understand it, even though he could still play. He was a damn good player, and that's what we will remember him as. And he was a good guy as well. I mean, you didn't run across anybody that really had anything negative to say about him as a person.
Signed by the Nets after he was released by the San Antonio Spurs. Didn't make much of an impact, but nobody likes to see anybody scared with their health like that.
I think he had one good game when a lot of guys were out. And listen, he had a really great career. He did. I don't think this makes a difference for them, win or lose. Why? I don't think it makes any difference. They're not going to win or lose a series because of LaMarcus Aldridge. He's just not, you know, an impact player anymore. But, you know, doing what's best for his health. You can't fault him for that.
Nope, you cannot. Top story of the day, though, comes to us again from the Phoenix Suns as we circle back there. not their season-ending homestand by any stretch, but their last longest homestand of the year is just about done. They got the Sacramento Kings in town tonight for a 7 o'clock tip time. The Kings are a mess. They're on the second night of a back-to-back. They lost last night to the Washington Wizards, who, oh, by the way, have won four of their last five games. The only game they've lost was to the Suns over the weekend. Bagley is traveling with the team, but he's out. Rashawn Holmes is out with a hamstring injury. And while there's still a good young core in place, this is a team now that has lost eight straight games. They're three games out of the final play-in spot in the Western Conference. And I was reading some of the Sacramento papers today and kind of get a read on this team because it's been a while since the Suns have seen them. Hope is really starting to fade for the Sacramento Kings this season. They had it. They had plenty of it. They were playing well. They were in the mix for the play-in tournament. Doesn't seem like they're there now, and this looks like another one of those games for the Suns.
They had a little bit of a run there where they won like five straight games. Bagley went out, and he decided to put in Tyrese Halliburton, and they went on a little bit of a roll, and they won five games in a row without Bagley. But eventually, it just collapsed on them. They've lost eight straight games now. They're complaining about the officials. Luke Walton's complaining that De'Aaron Fox doesn't get any calls. Bagley's not back yet. He's joining the team today in Phoenix after being away for 4 weeks, recovering from that broken hand. He could be back soon, but not tonight. Rashawn Holmes is out. He's got a hamstring injury. He's been a good player for them, good role player. I mean, he's averaging career highs, 14 points and 9 rebounds a game. So you lose him, that's a big loss for them. So you do kind of feel like it's starting to cave in on the Sacramento Kings.
Yeah, it's another one of those nights, and we've been down this road before. I don't know what to expect from the Phoenix Suns tonight. I really don't. I expect they're going to win. I don't know what the journey is going to be like to get there. You know, this feels like another one of those games that they might have to kind of survive tonight, right? I mean, we've seen it too many times. We've seen them overcome it against the Washington Wizards, where they blew them out the way they did on Saturday with that big third quarter. But more often than not, in moments like this, they get that. And what I'll be curious to see more than anything, they did it against the Rockets earlier this week, right? And that was the first time Monty kind of gave him the business for doing it. That was the first time we heard Monty Williams come out and say,
and I was happy about that,
we can't do this.
Yeah.
Right? We can't build this big third quarter lead and make it into a game in the fourth quarter. We've got to finish these teams out. I wonder if tonight will be any different because Monty finally was compelled publicly to say something about it like he did against Washington. It might not make a hill of beans different-wise, but it might. I don't know.
I mean, maybe you find something, like, right? Like, you know, they're, I don't know, little in-house bets with each other or with the coach or... I'll tell you what, we're up by 15 right now. If you guys win by 15, you get tomorrow. You don't have to practice tomorrow. If they cut this down to single digits, you practice. Like, no, I'm serious. You wonder, because we've said this, they get bored. I think that they get bored. We're up by 19. My God, this team sucks. We're just crushing them. Next thing you know, you take the foot off the gas, and all of a sudden, it's a 5-point game. You're like, how is this a 5-point game? And everybody's got to start. I mean, maybe it's just little like, hey, you know what? We got a 15-point lead at halftime. I'll tell you what. I'll let you let that lead get down to 10. But if it gets to single digits, you guys are running gases tomorrow. Like, I mean, why not?
So are you offering a reward or are you threatening them with a punishment?
Both.
Which one?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pizza tomorrow at practice if you maintain your 15-point lead. Everybody's running gassers if it's a single-digit game with 3 minutes to go.
Yes.
Something like that?
3 minutes to go, single-digit game, we're running gassers. I mean, so threaten them and then also motivate them with some food or a day off or a movie or just, I mean, that's just how my mind works. I'm thinking there's got to be a way because I think it's just boredom. I think they're just bored of the game.
Well, the Arizona Diamondbacks are not bored with their game against the Washington Nationals. Back-to-back jacks in the top of the first. No, we don't have the game on yet in here. I'll fix that here in a minute. Carson Kelly, solo home run. Eduardo Escobar, solo home run.
Carson Kelly.
The two and three hitters for the Diamondbacks today. Yeah, Carson Kelly is in the two-hole today. Back-to-back solo home runs off of Patrick Corbin, and the Diamondbacks have a 2-0 lead that they've handed to Merrill Kelly, and they're not even through the first inning yet. Nick Ahmed is up right now.
Patrick Corbin not pitching well again.
No, he is not. No, he's only had one start this year, and he didn't pitch very well against the Dodgers.
He didn't pitch well last year either.
No, he didn't. The Arizona Cardinals have spent the offseason adding key veteran pieces to their roster. What about that tight end position? Haven't done anything there yet. What are some of the options? We'll talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Wyatt Matheson coming through with the RBI single, and it's 3-0 in the top of the first. Patrick Corbin laboring in this early start for the Diamondbacks as their big, was a 10-game trip, including four against the Nationals, starts today. Game over on ESPN 620. Corbin's already thrown 25 pitches in the first inning. He's given up three runs, including back-to-back home runs to Carson Kelly and Eduardo Escobar.
You know, I always liked Patrick Corbin. He just hit a batter. But I was never in favor of keeping him for anywhere near the amount of money he got. Like, goodbye.
Oh, no.
He got 6 years and $140 million.
Yeah, no.
Like, he's not that good.
No.
They talked the Yankees were going to sign him. I was like, please, no. Like, I'm a Yankee fan. I didn't want the Yankees to get Patrick Corbin. I don't think he's that good. Like, he's decent, but he's not a number one or number two pitcher in my mind. So I'm actually glad they walked away from that one.
It was never, like, there's some guys you have regrets about. There was never a second thought about trying to keep him financially. I feel the same way. I look at him. I like him. He was a good guy. He always treated us well. He was easy to root for.
Yeah, I like him for $8 million.
But you know, at that money, no thank you, my friend. No thank you. So the Arizona Cardinals were busy today. The Arizona Cardinals did a couple of things today. Number one, they finalized deals with a couple of their own guys. Dennis Gardeck, Kylie Fitz today signed their one-year tenders. For Gardeck in particular, he was tendered at the second-round level, which means he's going to make $3.5 million this year, which is probably more money than Dennis Gardeck ever thought in his life he was going to make playing NFL football. He was a revelation last year. The question with him moving forward is how much more of a revelation will he continue to be? In 94 snaps, 94 on defense, that's it. He was second on the team in sacks with 7. Can he? Is that who he is? You know?
I mean, I can't say either way right now. Is he a situational pass rusher, or is he a guy that you can use more on a regular basis? So that's the question with Gardeck. Is he a situational guy to where, now I said the same thing about Chase Edmonds. There was a time we liked Chase. Hey, we like Chase at 12 touches a game. Well, now that's going to go up. He's going to be the main guy next year. But there was a time we were like, man, I do like Chase. I want to get Chase 10 to 12 touches a game. I think he could really help. Well, now what if it's 20? Can he still be effective that way?
Right.
Gardeck in a limited role was showing that he could be very effective. But can he do it? Is he a three-down guy? Probably not, but we will see how they use him.
Especially in his own words. And we had him on a couple times last year. He's like, look, I don't know if they really know who I am out there, right? And I remind them when I'm on the field, I'm just the special teams guy, right? I'm the one that's not in your game plan. I'm the one you didn't watch any film on. I'm the guy who plays like a demon on special teams, but you're not used to seeing me on defense. He's not going to surprise anybody next year. There's film on him. There's tape on him. People are going to look at the All-22. They're going to know what he's about. He might take a step back just because, A, he might not do as well with more reps, and B, the book's out on him. People, when he's on the field, people are going to know, hey, that's the dude who had 7 sacks last year. Keep your eye out on him. Kylie Fitz, special teams guy. He also played a little in the field. He signed his one-year tender as well. And then the Cardinals went out and signed five players today. Wide receiver Andre Bocelli,
yes.
Defensive lineman.
Great opera singer from Milan. He was phenomenal.
Marvelous tenor. Yes. One of the great
wait
operatic
till you hear him
singers.
Sing.
He's marvelous. Defensive lineman Ryan B. Running back Tavian Feaster. Linebacker Jamel Garcia-Williams. And wide receiver Dorice Roberson Jr. The only one that I really know that much about just from what I've read online today is Roberson, the wide receiver that I just mentioned. 4.35 40 speed. Fast guy. Burner. I don't know that much about the rest of them.
Yeah, and I think he's, I don't know his height, but that speed is unreal. I mean, that is just phenomenal speed, 4.35. So, the thing with these speed guys is, can he catch?
Right.
Can he catch the ball? There's been a lot of speed. I watched Willie Gault play in the NFL. I watched Ronaldo Neymar play in the NFL. Track guys, speedsters. But, you need to be able to catch the ball and run good routes, too.
I watched Rob Housler play in the NFL.
Rob Housler.
Rumor has it, anyway, play in the NFL.
He was not as fast as Willie Gault.
No, he was not. But
Ronaldo
Neymar. For his position, that
was fast.
Basically the sole reason why they drafted him when they did a couple years ago. So, running back done, cornerback, they could probably use another one, but I'm sure they'll address that after the draft at this point. The free agent shopping is, you would assume, kind of done. until the draft. Now, we thought that about, you know, free agency a few days ago. They went out and got James Conner. So maybe they add somebody before the draft in a couple of weeks. The tight end position is one that has not really been addressed. They kept Darrell Daniels on the roster, right? They re-signed him to a contract.
They lost their best pass-catching tight end in Dan Arnold.
They did. So,
where did he go again? Do you remember?
Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah, it was Carolina.
Nothing could be finer than to be in Carolina.
So I've heard.
Morning.
Zach Ertz is still out there. David Njoku is still out there. Jordan Reed.
Njoku's interesting, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
But that contract, doesn't he have a big contract?
He has a big contract.
I think they could trade him.
Yeah.
But he's got that contract, just that, like, that's not a spot for them. Like, they can't make that deal. You know, like you wonder where they're going to get that. I've got a guy asking me right now. He said, oh, you know, Cardinals got $14 million, but can't you just cut Kennard? No, I don't think Kennard's getting cut. I really don't. He hasn't been cut to this point. So I'm going to say that Derek Kennard is not getting cut by the Arizona Cardinals. Not going to happen.
Yeah, we had kind of identified him before the offseason started as somebody who could be a cap casualty to free up some more money, but it doesn't appear as if that's going to happen at this point because there is a certain amount of dead money they'd be carrying if they did that. And Njoku is interesting because, he is in the middle of a pricey contract, and this CardsWire story I'm looking at right now suggests that you might be able to get him for a late day two or early day three pick. So that would be a third or a fourth rounder, basically. Now, the Cardinals don't have an early day three pick right now. They don't have a fourth rounder.
They're going to wait a long time in between those two picks, aren't they?
They don't have a third rounder right now. After their second rounder, they have that Sahara Desert-like wait from second round pick to the fifth round
pick. It's
like
when you show up at a restaurant and you're like, any tables? We got a two-hour wait. And you're like, and your wife's like, no, we have to eat here tonight. I'm craving this stuff. Like, two-hour wait? Okay.
Yeah, you just hope there's a spot at the bar open, which I do. When there's a two-hour wait at a restaurant that my wife really wants to eat at, I just, is there a spot at the bar? That's really all I'm looking for. They're gonna need a tight end. They're going to need a veteran tight end at some point. They're going to have to sign somebody.
I think so. I mean, some of those names are intriguing. All right? Now, would any of the – you ask yourself this question. Which one of those guys would come in for the veterans minimum? And because that's where you're at. Like I said, they don't have money to spend on guys right now. They don't have any money. The money that they have is tied up with injury replacements and the draft and things like that. So which one of those guys is going to get to the point where nobody's giving them an offer and the Cardinals say, you know what, we can pay you the minimum.
Yeah.
By the way, Ari McDonald just got chosen in the WNBA draft.
Yeah.
Number 3 overall, baby.
I love it. Good for her. Man, she was fantastic. I'm a fan of Ari McDonald.
Who's the team? Who took her?
Washington.
Was it Washington?
The Atlanta Dream.
Was it Atlanta? Okay.
Was it Atlanta?
Atlanta. I couldn't recognize the logo, and I can't see what's beneath
it. It's cut off.
It's cut off. On the screen I'm looking at, the logo is cut off. Good for her.
Look, third overall pick in the draft?
Highest in program history. 16 was the highest pick before that.
Sorry, I got behind that U of A basketball team and their run to the championship against Stanford, beating UConn, and that little girl was amazing.
Behind him.
She was so fun to watch. I am happy for her. Third overall pick in a WNBA draft out
Good
of the
for
U of
her.
A.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, it's a brave new world. Sports gambling, now officially legal in the state of Arizona. So much so, they're putting up a sports book at the Phoenix Suns Arena. Yeah, no lie. What does it mean for you? What does it mean how you're going to consume games moving forward? That's next on the Burns and Gambo show. Sportsbook coming to the TPC Scottsdale. Home of the Phoenix Open, Waste Management Phoenix Open. Suns and FanDuel announced today a sportsbook coming to Phoenix Suns Arena. Not, you know, in the next day or two, right? This Gambo said it's going to take
about
like 90 days.
Is what I was told. About 90 days to get it. So I don't think they'll have it for the rest of the regular season, and I don't think you'll have it for the playoffs either. You're going to have to be a little patient and wait.
But the bill was signed into law today. Sports gambling is now legal in Arizona at certain tribal casinos and certain sports facilities, pro sports facilities. Are you going to partake? That's the question today on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update, presented by Sanderson Ford.
Are you going to partake, Sarah Cazell?
I don't know if I make enough money to do that.
Okay, that's fair.
So if we can talk to somebody in the building, then I'll start sports gambling. How does that sound?
Give Sarah a raise so she can go
so
burn
that I
more
can
of
gamble.
It.
So why do you think you want a raise? Because I want to gamble.
I want to throw it away.
Man,
the Suns are giving up like 7.5 points tonight. That's just begging for me to bet on it.
Pete Rose told me to take the D-backs tonight.
So of the four options, are you going to gamble or bet on sports now that it's legal in Arizona? There's yes, definitely, I'll give it a shot. No, just not really for me. Or I may already be partaking. I am in between the second and the third option. Like maybe I'll throw a couple dollars down, like just to do it.
Okay.
But also, it's definitely not going to be a consistent part of my sports viewership.
Gambo was a hard no. I was a hard yes on this one. I'm not going to go nuts with it, but yeah, I absolutely will lay down a few shekels here or there. What does the audience say about this one so far?
It is 47% of our voters who are down.
Okay.
They are in. We've got 25% who say, no, it's not really for me. 20% who say they'll give it a shot. And then 8% who are already doing it.
You know, I want to say this, okay? Because it's not like I wager vast sums of money on sports. I don't, okay? Back pre-pandemic, I would go to Vegas once a year with my friends during March Madness, and we'd bet on a few of the tournament games, right? And that was it. And it's not like I was there to lose thousands and thousands. I think I had a budget of like, okay, here's like $500 you can lose, and that's it. When you've lost $500, you're done. You're making no more bets. You're at the tables no more. That's it. You're done. I will tell you, though, for if you've never done it before, even something as simple as $10 on a basketball game.
Get your juices flowing.
It is amazing how into that game you are.
Yeah.
For $10.
For $10. It's okay. I can't describe it. To the last 5 minutes of that game, and it's you're getting 3.5 points. You're watching that game like your children's lives depend on it. It's $10. It's not that big of a deal, but it does, the adrenaline surge that you get from that. I can see why it's kind of addictive. I can see why it's a problem because, man, you're hooked.
Okay. This is a big question. I'm not a gambler, okay?
Yes.
And I am no longer in the business of collecting gambling debts from people.
Not even okay? Keyshawn?
I don't work for those people anymore.
Of our listeners did point that out earlier. He was like, you had a bet with Keyshawn Johnson, which technically was gambling? No?
Yeah, but it was to charity, though.
Oh, I know, but it's still betting your money.
I mean, no, but it's money that I'm already giving to. We have a certain amount of money
already
that
set aside.
Me and my wife each give to charity each month. So we have our charities that we donate to. So like, it would just came out of that.
It was already going to be spent, is what you're saying.
All right. Yeah. I know gamblers who do that. Hey, this is how much I'm setting aside, and if I lose it, then I'm done.
Yeah,
that's just part of your budget.
So my question is this. Here's my question.
Okay.
You're saying $10 on a Suns game can win you $10, right?
Yeah.
So you put it down 10, and if you win, you walk away with 10 free dollars.
You walk away with your $10 bet back in like
$9.10. Why wouldn't you just put $10 on like the Powerball and have a chance to win 100 million or 50 million or whatever it is?
Here's the reason why.
Why?
Powerball is random. Sports, you feel like you know.
Exactly.
That's
you
it.
Have no
yeah, but your chance to win.
I know, but
like $10 Powerball would give you a chance.
But Gambo,
to win
listen to me. Listen
big.
To me. Powerball is random. Powerball is some computers picking a bunch of numbers for me. If I believe the Phoenix Suns, I don't even know what the spread is tonight. If I believe the Phoenix Suns are 9 points better than
the
Sacramento
spread tonight,
Kings,
Jordan. Let's see. Let's just give us our. Let's see if we would win tonight or not.
Also, to Brinzy's point, while Jordan is looking that up,
go ahead, Sarah.
Powerball hand selects however many winners. Anybody who has the correct bet for or against the spread will collect money, no?
Well, yeah. I mean, also to tag on to both of your guys' point, it's almost a 50, either you're going to win or you're going to lose. I mean, it's kind of 50-50. If you're doing Powerball, your odds of winning are...
Yeah, but if you're going to win, why win
$10? Yeah. Well, 12 and a half points. That's what the Suns are favored tonight.
Boy. I got to go make a phone call.
I'll take Sacramento plus 12 and a half. I will.
He's in.
I'll take Sacramento plus 12 and a half.
Look at that. I'm not going to engage in this kind of behavior right now in the air. Are we doing this?
I'm just telling you what I think. I don't know.
So you're not betting. You're just telling me. I'll take the Suns and I'll lay down the points.
Okay. Let's see who would have won. Let's see who would have won tomorrow.
Look at me talking like a sports gambler and all that.
So now I'm
going to
watch this game tonight, and when it's a when it's an 11 point game, you know, in the final seconds,
you'll see. It's a whole new way of watching. It's a whole new. That's why Al Michaels.
What the hell just happened?
When he calls Sunday night games, I don't know.
I just looked up, and the Diamondbacks were up 3-0. Now they're losing 4-3.
Oh, well. Hi, Merrill Kelly.
Cool.
Thank you for not having a very good season so far. But that's the difference. Is it Powerball? Yes. A, to Jordan's point, it's like 100-1 odds, 250-1 odds. You bet on a sporting event, it feels like more of a 50-50 proposition, okay. And you control it. You decide. I'm going to use my skill as John Gambadoro, who knows everything about the Sacramento Kings and the Phoenix Suns, and I'm being facetious here. I'm going to use my knowledge. I know Sacramento's going to cover tonight. I know they are. Whereas the Powerball, man, you're just walking in and it's...
Yeah, but if you win
yeah.
something of substance.
Well,
if you win $10, I'm like...
But you can win something of substance betting on sports, too, depending on how much you bet.
I'll buy a dozen donuts on the way out of the store.
Okay, a friend of mine sent me a betting ticket... from like somebody on DraftKings or somebody did a 3-person parlay, the first player to score in each of these three games. And it was like Nikola Jokic for the Nuggets, Paul George for the Clippers, and Luka Doncic for the Dallas Mavericks. All right. So a 3-team, I think Doncic is going to have the first basket in the game and Paul George is going to have the first basket, and Jokic is going to have the first basket. That $5 bet got him like $1,500 in return.
Okay, all right.
So if you want to do crazy stuff like that, you can, sure.
Okay, all right. Like I said, I'm not a gambler. Yeah. I don't know.
But the bottom line is now with this new law being passed, you got sportsbooks, the TPC, you got FanDuel and the Suns announcing today that a sports book is coming to Phoenix Suns Arena. You said it's going to have access from the street and from within the arena.
It'll be on the main level. It'll be where they're going to put it is right on the main level. You'll have entrance from the arena, but also entrance from Jefferson Street. Because what I'm imagining is that you're going to have access to that when it's not a non-game day, too.
Yeah.
To be able to go and bet. It is an exclusive deal. So the Suns are the only partner in the market for FanDuel. That's the way the deal was written up.
Derek Hall was on Doug and Wolf today, the president and CEO of the Diamondbacks. Imagine the Diamondbacks are going to get in on this too, so we're probably the Coyotes. He was asked by the guys, can you be at a Coyotes game and bet on a Diamondbacks game?
Yes. So everybody will have mobile capability too. Their operators will. So they'll have an actual retail sports book somewhere close to or within proximity of the sports facility, arena, stadium, or in each case. I mean, if you look at every team, you go to State Farm or downtown with us or the Suns, the Coyotes, everybody's going to have at least the opportunity for a sports book. And then the mobile, as you're asking, there will be accessibility, Doug, inside a stadium and out. You know, you'll have the choice as a consumer which site you want to use, which app you want to use, but we're all going to have our own through our partner.
And for the Suns, their partners. FanDuel, and it's an exclusive partnership. By the way, it was Starlin Castro, 2-run homer to center, top of the second. Diamondbacks are losing to the Nationals 4-3.
They were just up 3-0. Boy, Merrill Kelly's off to a rough start.
Merrill Kelly is not off to a good start this year at all. He is going to be the number one pick in this year's NFL draft, and yet some comments from Trevor Lawrence has many around the league wondering how much he loves this game. An interesting conversation to be had next on the Burns and Gambo Show. All right, this Diamondbacks game is officially nutso. We are in the top of the seconds. It's still 4-3 Washington, but the Diamondbacks have the bases loaded and nobody out. Which means the good news is by the time we get home, this game will only be in the third inning. So we'll have plenty of the game to watch, apparently, because this is going to be one of those.
Corbin's still in there. Corbin's still in.
This is going to be one of those 4-hour jobs tonight here for the Diamondbacks in the nation's capital.
He can't get anybody out. Who does he think he is, Madison Bumgarner?
Yeah, LeCastro singled, Carson Kelly walks, Escobar singles, and now it's bases loaded for Esdrubal Cabrera. Again, it's 4-3, the Nationals on a Starlin Castro two-run homer. Andrew Young is in left field. It's just been an adventure out him for there, man. He's an infielder playing outfield. He got some work at it in the spring. It didn't take. He's got a lot of work to do out there, and it's been kind of a mess for him. But we'll keep you updated.
Oh, Cabrera struck out.
On that situation.
I have a feeling it's not going to end 4-3.
No, probably not. Now with the bases loaded, now one out. This Trevor Lawrence story, this is interesting stuff. I think this is interesting stuff. Trevor Lawrence, who's going to be the number one pick in the NFL draft 2 weeks from right now. Draft is in 2 weeks from right now.
Yeah, just got married.
Just got married. Trevor Lawrence is going to be the number one pick, and everybody knows it. On Wednesday, Sports Illustrated's Michael Rosenberg released an interview before the draft about Lawrence's relationship with football. It's hard. Here's the quote. It's hard to explain that because I want people to know that I'm passionate about what I do and it's really important to me. But I don't have this huge chip on my shoulder that everyone's out to get me and I'm trying to prove everybody wrong. I just don't have that. I can't manufacture that. I don't want to manufacture that. Later in the article, Lawrence's father remarked that his son is not, quote, an I want to win the Super Bowl at all costs type of person, close quote. Trevor's high school coach added that the quarterback could walk away from football tomorrow and be fine. There's no doubt about it. With who he is as a person, he could walk away from it tomorrow and be fine. Close quote. Here's this isn't the money cut, as we like to say. I just read the money cuts to you, as it looks like the Diamondbacks just tied it up with an RBI single. Trevor Lawrence, what would be a successful NFL career for you?
Success is a hard word, obviously. Winning and losing, that's kind of what you get measured by in football and in sports in general. So obviously that's one thing. But I think just successful is more so how I live my life, type of husband and dad I am one day. That's a little bit outside of the game. But I just think that that's a successful life for me. But as far as the game goes, obviously, dream of winning the Super Bowl. That's going to be probably my biggest goal my whole career. And then hopefully can do that a few times. So. And you just don't know how things are going to work out. So obviously, going to a new city, you got to figure all that out. But just excited to give all I have to a new city and start my family wherever that's at. So just really pumped.
Again, that was fine.
I don't have any issues with any of this.
Really?
I really don't.
You never cease to surprise me sometimes.
I mean, like
old Gambo would have. Do you mind me saying that? I think I think Gambo from 4 years ago. Gambo, from when you and I first started doing the show, I think you would have had a problem with this.
Here's a guy that's talking about family and being a good father and a good husband and all this other stuff, which should be your priority. It should be. And not have your job define you. Our job, look, a lot of it, like my job defines me. I mean, it does. It defines me. But you try not to let it affect your relationship with your wife, your relationship with your kids, your relationship with things like that. I mean,
I agree about that.
But the job defines me. Everybody knows me from what I do.
And I'm not trying to go after you here on this one, but with Josh Rosen, were you not a little bothered by how...
But he did, because he was doing, like, he cared about other stuff. I haven't seen any signs that Trevor Lawrence doesn't care about football, number one. Josh Rosen... When I talked to a lot of guys in that locker room, it was like, man, he's got other priorities in football. Like, football's not his number one priority.
Okay, I get that, like, but I don't think that's that far of a leap from there's no doubt about it with who he is as a person. He could walk away from it tomorrow and be fine.
But who's saying that? Not him?
That's his high school coach.
Okay.
His dad is the one saying that his son is not an I want to win a Super Bowl at all costs type of person.
But then he just said that he wants to win Super Bowls. He said that.
Yeah, he did.
So the dad's saying one thing. I mean, listen, to get to where he is, to win a national championship, to be the number one pick in the draft, I mean, he had to have had a work ethic and a desire to be great.
You would think. But these, and look, for the record, I wouldn't be that concerned about this either. I just expected you, and I'm not trying to stereotype,
yeah,
I just expected you to be more concerned about it. I expected you to go, ooh, boy, I don't know if I want my franchise. Because, I mean, and here's the point, ultimately, that I want to make. I'm going to let Lewis Riddick make it. He was on Get Up this morning from ESPN. He was taken aback by Lawrence's comments, and in particular, listen to what he says at the end of this rather lengthy soundbite, but it's a good one.
It took me aback a little bit because, look, I don't know Trevor Lawrence. I've never talked to him, and quite honestly, I've never been around him. So all we know is what everyone else has told us about, you know, his being a can't-miss prospect and his being one of the best prospects of the past 30 years, and he's can't-miss, and this is why Urban Meyer came out of retirement, because he had a can't-miss prospect here. Well, I just know this. I know this, two things about the NFL, okay? There are quarterbacks that are just maniacal in terms of their preparation and their commitment to the game, and they do want to win at all costs. Quite honestly, the guy who we consider the GOAT, Tom Brady, he has said, if you are not willing to commit yourself in the way that I'm willing to commit yourself, then you're probably going to have a problem matching up with him over time, you know, to paraphrase. Because he's someone who is maniacal in terms of making sure that he has all the answers and he is prepared as much as possible and he will do whatever it takes in order to win football games. And winning at the NFL level is hard, man. Playing quarterback at the NFL level is hard. Steve Young used to say it all the time to me on Monday Night Countdown. It's about the details. It's about the preparation. It's about the commitment. And you better be committed on that level.
But hold on. One other last little point that he didn't make in that soundbite. Okay. Jordan, play this for
Remember
me.
Now, people were questioning Justin Fields. People were questioning Justin Fields, and he hadn't said a word. People were questioning just how committed he was and whether he was going to be one of those guys who's going to put in the time to be great. If Justin Fields had said this kind of thing, what do you think we'd be talking about here this morning? So I'm just going to put that out there. And I'm not questioning Trevor Lawrence. I'm just saying, though.
Now, that's an interesting point, because Justin Fields has been through the ringer quite a bit the last couple of weeks.
Without saying anything.
About his perceived work ethic, about his perceived, is he the first one in, the last one to leave?
And
is
people
he,
have come to his defense.
And people have come to his defense.
Many.
But it's been dicey for him the last couple of weeks. And I think Lewis Riddick is absolutely right. If Justin Fields was the one who was on record saying what Trevor Lawrence said, he'd be getting gashed today over that. So, I don't know, man.
That's fair, because it was already questioned. We've never questioned Trevor Lawrence's work ethic before, or desire to win or be great. This is the first time we're seeing something. Now, maybe if you get there and he's not a guy that gets along with his teammates, or he's not a guy that helps organize workouts, if he's not the first one there. If you see that work ethic's not great, then maybe this comes back to play. Maybe this comes back into the play that, listen, there are plenty of guys that don't love what they do in sports. They just do it because they're good at it.
Mm-hmm.
There are plenty of guys. A lot of basketball players, why do you play? Because I'm 7 feet tall and I'm good. I don't really like it. A lot of football players, offensive linemen. I don't really like what I do, but, you know, I'm just really big. And so I think there's plenty of people like that out there in sports. I've never felt the need to question Trevor Lawrence before, but I guess you give me something to think about as going forward to see if when he gets to Jacksonville, if things aren't great.
With their youth and inexperience, there are a lot of questions about just how deep of a playoff run the Suns can make with that inexperience. One NBA analyst has found a similar situation in NBA history that should provide Suns fans with a lot of hope about how far this team can go. We'll explain next on the Burns and Gambo Show.